Mataji, today's class is given by Our Grace Sukh Sagari Mataji. Today we are reading Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Lila 5 chapter 121. Onwards Mataji, please take over the call Mataji.
Thank you Anjana Mataji. As always, I wish to thank the organizers, and this class, the request came in quite late yesterday afternoon, so please forgive me if I'm not so well prepared. I only had that much time. And yes, I'm actually trying to hop into the shoes of Preeti Vilasni Mataji, who's an expert. So I'm not sure I can stand up to that standard, but I'll try my best, Mataji, with all your blessings and the blessings of Guru and Gauranga. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते गिरिराजस्वामिन्निति नामिने. नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्निति नामिने. नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. सो टुडे वी विल बी डिस्कसिंग वर्सेस फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत अंत्य लीला चैप्टर 5 121 ऑनवर्ड्स अंटिल 133. आई थिंक दैट्स व्हाट प्रीति टोल्ड मी. या आई थिंक देयर अबाउट्स. आई जस्ट Yeah, one. Sorry, she said cover until 135. So that's what we will be doing today. So I'll just read the verses and then we can go over the purports. So this is Antya 5.121. Araika kariya cha parama pramada dehadehi bheda ishware kaila aparadha. Translation. Your incomplete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and the soul of His Lordship, Lord Jagannatha or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a great offense. Ishwarera nahi kabhu deha dehi bheda, swarupa deha chidananda nahi kavi bheda. Translation, at no time is there a distinction between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His personal identity and His body are made of blissful spiritual energy. There is no distinction between them. 5.1.2.3 Deha dehi vibhagoyam nishvara vidyate kvachit. Translation, there is no distinction between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at any time. 5.1.24.1.25 Natha param paramayad bhavata svarupam ananda matram avikalpam avidhavachaha pashyami vishvasrajam ekam avishvamatman bhutendriyatmakamadasta upashritosmi tadvaidam bhuvana mangala mangalaya dhyanesmano darshitam ta upasakanam tasmai namo bhagavate nuvidhematubhyam yunadruto narakabhagbhirasat prasangaihi. Translation, O my Lord, I do not see a form superior to your present form of eternal bliss and knowledge. In your impersonal Brahman effulgence in the spiritual sky, there is no occasional change and no deterioration of internal potency. I surrender unto you because whereas I am proud of my material body and senses, your Lordship is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. yet you are untouched by matter. That's a beautiful verse by Lord Brahma there. Kaha purnan Purnanandeshwarya Krishna Maheshwara Kaha Kshudra Jiva Dukhi Mayara Kinkara. Whereas Krishna, the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, is full of transcendental bliss, possesses all six spiritual opulences in full, and is the master of the material energy, the small conditioned soul, who is always unhappy, is the servant of the material energy. हलादिन्या संविदानिष्ठः सच्चिदानन्द ईश्वरः स्वाविद्या संवृतो जीवः संक्लेश निकराकरः. The supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and is accompanied by the potencies known as Haladini and Samvit. The conditioned soul, however, is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. Thus, he is the treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. 5128. Shuni shabha sadera chitta haila chamatkara satya kahe goshani duhara kariya chetiraskara. Hearing this explanation, all the members of the assembly were struck with wonder. Swarup Damodar Goswami has spoken the real truth, they admitted. The Brahmana from Bengal has committed an offense by wrongly describing Lord Jagannatha and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 5129. Shuniya Kavira Haila Laja Bhaya Vismaya Hamsa Madhya Baka Yache Kichunahi Kaya. When the Bengali poet heard this chastisement from Swarup Damodar Goswami, he was ashamed, fearful, and astonished. Indeed, being like a duck in a society of white swans, he could not say anything. 130. Tara dukha dekhi swarupa sadaya hridaya upadesha kaila tare yachahitahaya. Seeing the poet's unhappiness, Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was naturally very kind-hearted, advised him so that he could derive some benefit. 131. Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane Ekanta Ashraya Kara Chaitanya Charane. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a nice purport there, Prabhupada writes. 132. Chaitanyera Bhakta Ganera Nityakara Sangha Tabeta Janiva Siddhanta Samudra Taranga. Translation. Swarupa Damodara continued, associate regularly with the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for then only will you understand the waves of the ocean of devotional service. 133. Tabeta Panditya Tomara Hai Vesa Phala Krishnera Sarupa Leela Varni Ba Nirmala. Translation. Only if you follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees will your learning be successful. Then you will be able to write about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna without material contamination. 134. Eshloka kariyacha panya santosha tomara hridayera artha duhaya lage dosha. Translation. You've composed this introductory verse to your great satisfaction, but the meaning you have expressed is contaminated by offenses to both Lord Jagannatha and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The last verse for today. 135. Tumi acheta che kaha na janiya riti Saraswati se shabde kariya che stuti. You have written something irregular, not knowing the regulative principles. But the goddess of learning, Saraswati, has used your words to offer her prayers to the Supreme Lord. So these are the verses. And All these verses, many of the verses have beautiful purports with a reference to Srimad Bhagavatam. So we'll take some time to also, you know, delve on why these verses are actually from the Bhagavatam are being quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So as we can see, you know, from the earlier verses, that we see that there is this Brahmana who's composed this drama on Lord Jagannatha, but and which the which Pradyumna Mishra and the other devotees, they seem to be very inspiring, and they seem to be very happy and amazed with that drama. But Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami, who actually does the job of curating these kind of anything that goes, you know, before goes to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's actually in one sense curated by Srila Swarup Damodar Goswami. So when he hears this verse, he finds it offensive to both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also to Lord Jagannatha. So I was wondering, Matajis, do you want to throw some light on why it was offensive to both personalities of Godhead? Any Matajis or Prabhujis? Okay. Yes, Mataji.
They both are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so he's saying about Jagannath is a shariri, means the one who has a body. But then there's no soul in there. And Lord Chaitanya is a soul. So it's offensive. Okay, sorry.
Mataji, you want to add something or you're done? Yeah,
like no, that's what it is. So, I don't.
Yeah, so like Mataji said, you know, their Supreme Personality of Godhead, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannatha himself. But the poet had, you know, when he wrote these verses, he had portrayed Jagannath to be of Jada Sharira, possessing a material body without a life. And so that is an offense. That's an obvious offense, because Lord Jagannatha is all spiritual, you know, like we have seen in the other verses we read today in the translation, that there is nothing material about the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even his paraphernalia or anything he touches, anything he does, there is absolutely, you know, na karma lipyate. There is no karma bound to any of his actions. He's above, you know, all these modes of material nature. So that is an obvious offense, you know, against Lord Jagannath, that he thought that he's just in his wooden form and made out of material elements. So the offense for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be that he's described as a mere spark or just a soul who has come to give life to the Jagannath deity. So that is an offense, because like in these verses which we just read today, the translation, we should never make the attempt to distinguish between the soul and the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are absolute in every sense. Not only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also the Nitya Siddhas. There is this, you know, when Krishna is explaining to his queen Satyabhama, he tells her that all the associates of the Lord, you know, who have descended with him, the Nitya Siddhas, the Yadus, they are all very special because they are all made up of the same substance. They're like, in one sense, expansions. The Nitya Siddhas are, in one sense, the expansions of Lord Vishnu. They have the same form. So she said that they should not be considered as ordinary material, Nitya Baddhas or any other living entity like that, because they are very dear associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they are also, you know, made up of the Sachidananda feature, of course, in minute quantities, not like Krishna is in full, but the Nitya Siddhas do possess the same qualities. and they also have this Siddha Deha, and which is also a totally transcendental. And they also, in the same way as the Lord, comes and exhibits his pastimes as a, you know, in a human form. Like we have seen the famous 9-11 verse, Avajananti Mamudha Manusham Tanumashritam. So there he says that I descend in the human form and the fools deride me when I descend in this human form, because they're unaware that even when he comes, you know, in the so-called human form, he is still totally transcendental and he is, you know, totally above these modes of three material modes of nature. So similarly, these Nitya Siddhas also, when they come here and do the pastimes, they are here to help the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they are also, you know, fully transcendental, and they also appear to be like, you know, normal human beings trying to do daily affairs and, you know, having a family or children or, you know, showing any kinds of, you know, like raga dvesha, those kind of symptoms, which we are, I mean, as, you know, personally speaking, I am kind of prone to that, you know, like we are swayed by these material modes of nature, and sometimes the effect of the mode of goodness is high, sometimes the effect of the mode of passion is higher, sometimes it's a combination, sometimes, you know, most of time for me it's ignorance. So like that, we are so much affected by these modes, but these Nitya Siddhas, as well as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are above all this. At no point of time are they affected by any of these modes. And also, like we see the two offenses which are being committed by the author here, I mean, by the Brahmana here, are, one is that he thinks of Lord Jagannath as just as a material body. And he's portraying Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give a soul to this body. So that way he's saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just a soul and not a body. And he's going to give, you know, the spark to the body of Srila, of Jagannath. So that's why in there, one of those purports, Srila Prabhupada says he just considers him as a spark, you know. So like a spirit spark. So that is again an offense, because Lord Chaitanya is complete. His whole body is his soul. I mean, there is absolutely no difference. They are all absolute personalities and they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So this is the offense the Brahmana committed, because not only did he offend Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he also offended Sri Jagannatha. So we will go through the purports one by one, because they are very beautiful ones. And it's always a pleasure to read what Srila Prabhupada has to give us. So I'm reading the purport 1-1. I don't know if you want to project it on the screen. It'll be easy to follow. Purport. When one differentiates between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he immediately becomes an offender. Because the living entities in the material world are generally covered by material bodies, the body and the soul of an ordinary human being cannot be identical. The Supreme Lord bestows the fruits of one's activities, for he is the Lord of the results of fruitive action. He is also the cause of all causes, and he is the master of all of the material energy. Therefore, he is supreme. An ordinary living being, however, in his material condition, experiences the results of his own fruitive activities and therefore falls under their influence. Even in the liberated stage of Brahma-Bhuta identification, he engages in rendering service to his lordship. Thus, there are distinctions between an ordinary human being and the Supreme Lord. Karmis and jnanis who ignore these distinctions are offenders against the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An ordinary human being is prone to be subjugated by the material energy, whereas his lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, or Lord Jagannatha, is always the master of the material energy and is therefore never subject to its influence. His lordship, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has an unlimited spiritual identity, never to be broken, whereas the consciousness of the living entity is limited and fragmented. The living entities are fragmental portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. It is not that they are covered by the material energy in conditioned life, but become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead when freed from the influence of material energy. Such an idea is offensive. So, I'll just stop here and maybe we can discuss a few points. So, the first paragraph says that when one tries to differentiate between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes an offender, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute in every sense. We also have heard that so many times from our acharyas, when we offer prasadam to Lord Krishna, we don't see much of a transformation, obvious transformation happening to the prasadam with our, material eyes. But Krishna can just, accept the bhoga with his eyes. I mean, all parts of his body are, absolute in every sense. So what he can do with his eyes, he can do with his mouth, and vice versa. So he doesn't have to practically taste with his mouth, because all these senses of the Supreme Lord are absolute in every sense. So he can even taste the bhoga with the eyes, and then also the bhoga remains the same. It's like sometimes, yes, we have heard devotees who have offered water, who place water for their deities in their altars. They say that by evening the water disappears. I've heard these kind of stories from many devotees. Yes, the Lord does reciprocate like that, with his dear devotees. But in common, commonly when we try to offer to the Lord, we don't see obvious, the obvious case of the Lord just taking the prasadam. He keeps everything for us as though he does accept it, hopefully, with all our devotion and purifies it for us. Of course, there is the story of this young Gopal who tried to offer, prasadam to the Lord, at the advice of his father. And the Lord actually came and had the prasadam. So we have heard all these pastimes where the Lord does reciprocate with his devotees, and he does partake of the whole bhoga, and we don't see anything remaining there. But in general terms, we don't see that happen so ordinarily. So what I'm trying to drive at is that the sense we should not be distinguishing between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they are all absolute. His senses are absolute. His body is absolute. So what he can perform with one organ, he can do with any other organ. The Supreme Lord bestows the fruits of one's activities, for he is the Lord of the results. So we know that, according as one's karma, the person gets his another form of or another body in his next lifetime. So this is actually awarded by the by Krishna himself under the aegis of, Maya is actually doing this job for him, but it is all overseen by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. He is the cause of all causes, and he is the master of material energy. We know that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo. He is the cause of all causes, and he is also the master of all material energy. Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. So he says that, even the material energy is his actually. So he is supreme. That's what is the conclusion Prabhupada is deriving from all these statements he took from Shastras. He says, therefore, he is supreme. He gives so many points there. And then an ordinary living being, however, in his material condition, experiences the results of his own fruitive activities. So we are prone to karma. But Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita, namam lipyate karma. So he is not affected by karma. Karma cannot touch Krishna. But the ordinary living beings, because we are in this mode of dualities, we, are subject to these laws of karma. And and therefore, whatever body or whatever trials and tribulations we go through are actually a result of our own actions, perhaps in the previous lifetimes or maybe even in this lifetime, which we have done earlier. Even in the liberated stage of Brahma-Bhuta identification, he engages in rendering service to his lordship. So the actual position of this living entity should be that he should engage in service to the lordship. That is the actual position, because by himself, by his own effort, he or she may not be able to actually go up the ladder, and he needs the help of the guru and the Vaishnavas, and so that he can offer proper devotional service to the lordships. So these are the distinctions, like he says, between an ordinary being and the Supreme Lord. So we see in summary that Prabhupada is trying to tell here that the Lord is not subject to any karma, but the living entity is, and therefore the only way out of this kind of karma is to do akarma, which is nothing but devotional service unto the Lord. So karmis and jnanis, they don't understand this concept, and they are again offenders. Yeah, we again see how in the second paragraph, Srila Prabhupada says how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is complete. He is like, an ocean, and the living entity, though he is also a spiritual spark, these the potencies he carries are but like a drop in the ocean of water. So that is, he is distinguishing between the quality and the quantity. Though we are, in one sense, we are very much qualitatively made of the same, spiritual spark or the same spiritual potency, but it is very, very minute. It's very, very little in that sense. And that's where Srila Prabhupada quotes. He's trying to differentiate in so many ways the distinctions between the Supreme Lord and the living entity here in this purport. So beautifully he does like a thesis here. And he discusses this verse, Mame Vamshu Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. So even though we are fragmental portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are separate living entities. And I'm trying to go to my screen. Yeah, we are separate living entities. And again, he's trying to distinguish between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saying that we are eternal living entities. And this idea that we will merge into the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very wrong. And it is very offensive. That's what he's trying to say. According to the considerations of Mayavadi fools, the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts a material body when he appears in the material world. A Vaishnava, however, knows perfectly well that for Krishna, Lord Jagannatha, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, unlike for ordinary human beings, there is no distinction between the body and the soul. Even in the material world, his lordship retains his spiritual identity. Therefore, Lord Krishna exhibited all opulences even in his childhood body. There is no distinction between the body and soul of Krishna, whether he is in his childhood body or his youthful body. He is always identical with his own body. Even though Krishna appears like an ordinary human being, he is never subjected to the rules and regulations of the material world. He is Swarat, or fully independent. He can appear in the material world, but contrary to the offensive conclusion of the Mayavada school, he has no material body. In this connection, one may again refer to the above-mentioned verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.11.38. Etadishanam ishasya prakritistho pitad gunaihi na yujite sadatmasthai yatha buddhistadashraya. The Supreme Person has an eternal spiritual body. If one tries to distinguish between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he commits a great offense. So this is the lesson. That is the common theme or the common thread in all the verses we kind of read today, that it's a big offense to try to distinguish between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's absolute in every sense. So here, Srila Prabhupada is actually trying to, clarify or dispel the misconceptions of the Mayavadis who think that, you know, when the Lord appears on this material realm, he is actually taking a human form and is made up of material elements, which is totally wrong. Even though he appears in a human form in this planet for his pastimes, he is still he is still above all these modes of material nature, and he is transcendental in every sense. He retains his spiritual identity. So that's why we see, because of this quality of the Supreme Lord, we see that even, Lord Brahma, he is bewildered. His own parents are bewildered. We have seen how Lord Krishna performed pastimes even from, you know, such a young age, like 2 months, 3 months. So many demons were killed by Lord Krishna himself. I mean, which is kind of unimaginable for a baby that age. And, even as growing up, he fought, you know, with Mushtika, Chanura, and we see so many, you know, very valorous feats which were performed by Lord Krishna. And this is absolutely not ordinary. So we can understand, like Prabhupada is saying here, that because Krishna's body, you know, all he exhibits all opulences, even in his childhood body. So it's not like he has to be grown up like a man to fight a war or, you know, defeat the demons. He can just be a baby and kill demons. That's what he did to Putana and so many other demons we have seen, you know, in the Krishna book. So nice pastimes we have seen. So Krishna's, there is no distinction. He is always, all opulent. He has all these opulences in full, even in a baby form. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is trying to tell here. And he's also totally independent, though he is, as we know, paradhina, or, you know, in one sense, he is subservient to his devotees who are very dear to him. So then he takes the slower position because these devotees, he is sold to his devotees, you know, like he's sold to the gopis because he just doesn't know. Aham bhakta paradhino na pareham. We've heard all these important quotes, you know, from Srimad Bhagavatam, which put this point across that Lord Krishna is actually subservient to his devotees, especially the gopis and this exalted personality, exalted devotees, whom we read about in Srimad Bhagavatam. Though he is Swarat, you know, he is described as fully independent, but we see that he takes a lower position when it comes to devotees. So that is the specialty that is a special position of a devotee. So this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 111.38 is quoted here to show how the Lord, this is an example Srila Prabhupada is giving us here to see how the Lord is above this modes of material nature. So this chapter is from the first canto and the 11th chapter where Lord Krishna returns to Dwaraka, you know, after the Kurukshetra and all that. So when he's walking into the palace, there are different levels, you know, when he walks into the gates, there are other people greeting him like that. So many people on the street are waiting, you know, to take darshan of him like that. So finally, he comes to his inner quarters where his queens are there, his 16,000 plus queens are there. So Srila Prabhupada describes that these queens are, you know, they're making furtive glances at Lord Krishna because they're seeing him after a long time. So Krishna is just smiling at them, and the queens, you know, like the Vedic tradition as is, they don't directly go and embrace Lord Krishna, but then they send their children, and the children, they embrace Lord Krishna. And when they see that, the child embraces Lord Krishna, they actually feel that they have embraced their own Lord like that, you know. So in one sense, you know, they are having this vicarious kind of a pleasure of embracing the Lord through their child, you know. So they don't go and do it directly, but then in their hearts, in their minds, they are actually embracing the Lord. So these queens of Krishna are none other than the goddess of fortune, you know. And we can imagine how beautiful, and they are queens. So how beautiful, how opulent, you know, they will be. But Krishna, what the verse says is, even though Krishna looks at them and gives them a smile, He is totally unaffected by any of their looks. He is not attracted to their beauty or anything like that. I will just I'll just quote it as how Prabhupada translated here. Although the queen's beautiful smiles and furtive glances were all spotless and exciting, and although they could conquer Cupid himself by making him giving up his bow and frustration, and although even the tolerant Shiva could fall victim to them, still, despite all their magical feats and attractions, they could not agitate the senses of the Lord. The common materialistic conditioned souls speculate that the Lord is one of them. Out of their ignorance, they think that the Lord is affected by matter, and although he's unattached. Thus, this is the divinity of the personality of Godhead. He is not affected by the qualities of material nature, even though he is in contact with them. Similarly, the devotees who have taken shelter of the Lord do not become influenced by the material qualities. So Srila Prabhupada explains in another lecture of his that even not only the Lord, you know, he is aloof from all these, he's not affected from any material qualities, but also the devotees of the Lord. They are like swans, you know, like in the towards the end of the translations where we were reading, we saw that the Brahmana, he actually felt very insulted and scared, you know, and he felt like a duck. In the company of swans, like, or generally the saying is like a crow in the company of swans. So these Mahabhagavatas, these great devotees, pure devotees of the Lord are like swans. The swans, it knows how to separate the milk from the water, right? That's what we've heard. So it knows how to extract the exact thing, you know, the essence of the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they look for only that everywhere they look around. They look for only anything related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They can separate milk from water. That's the quality of a swan. So similarly, these transcendental personalities or this Nitya Siddhas or the great devotees of the Lord, they are also of the same nature. They are not swayed by these you know, material attractions. They don't hanker for material opulences or riches or anything like that. But they're very satisfied just in devotional service to the Lord. The only thing they hanker for is devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And like we read earlier, this devotional service is what actually liberates them and gives them the strength, or you know, the or it takes them away from this attractions of Maya. Okay, I think that's enough said for that verse. I like to read all the purports of Srila Prabhupada. They are full of, you know, like a lot of material is there. Though at the outside it does not seem so, but there's a lot of things hidden in there. I'm reading purport of 122. Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaja, is Advaya Jnana. In other words, there is no distinction between his body and his soul. For his existence is completely spiritual. According to the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with the words Vadanti Tat Tatva Vidha Tatvam Jnanam. So we are familiar with that verse. The absolute truth is always to be understood from three angles of vision, as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Unlike the objects of the material world, however, the absolute truth is always one and always the same. Thus, there is no distinction between his body and his soul. His form, name, attributes, and pastimes, therefore, are completely distinct from those of the material world. One should know perfectly well that there is no difference between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one conceives of a distinction between his body and his soul, one is immediately conditioned by material nature. Because a person in the material world makes such distinctions, he is called a Baddha Jiva, a conditioned soul. So here, Srila Prabhupada is bringing another angle to the same point, you know, trying to not distinguish between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, what would be its effect, you know, if we try to do that? we become this baddha jiva or a conditioned soul when you know we try to take this wrong step of distinguishing between them. He also brings our attention to the point that the supreme absolute truth can be understood from three angles of vision. So though you know they can be understood, it's a tattva or it's a truth or it's, you know, in concept we can understand the supreme personality in three different concepts. One is Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, but nonetheless though we understand in three different concepts, they are the same. So it would be wrong to just take one concept separately and say that Lord Krishna is just Brahman, he is just the effulgence, or he is just the four-handed feature sitting in our hearts. Bhagavan is like the sum total of everything, you know, he's like the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam says. So it would be an offense to just take one aspect of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, though he's been described in so many different ways to for our understanding. So Vadantita Tattva Vida Tattvam, Tattvam Jnanam Abhyayam. So this is for our understanding that, you know, we tend to understand these three aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but nonetheless, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolute in every sense. So we should not take them like part by part and try to analyze like that because he is absolute. But this is what Srila Prabhupada is trying to tell us here. Next verse, 123. This quotation, which is included in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, is from the Kurma Purana. There is no distinction between the body and the soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at any time. So here again, he is driving the same point from another scripture. Okay, these are the beautiful verses, you know, Lord Brahma speaks, and this is from the third canto. We'll just go through, I'll just read the translation again. Oh my Lord, this is actually Lord Brahma speaking. Oh my Lord, I do not see a form superior to your present form of eternal bliss and knowledge. In your impersonal Brahman effulgence in the spiritual sky, there is no occasional change and no deterioration of internal potency. I surrender unto you because whereas I am proud of my material body and senses, your lordship is the cause of the cosmic manifestation, yet you are untouched by matter. Purport. This present form or any transcendental form expanded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is equally auspicious for all the universes. Since you have manifested this eternal personal form upon whom your devotees meditate, I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Those who are destined to be dispatched to the path of hell neglect your personal form because of speculating on material topics. These verses from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.9.3.4 were spoken by Lord Brahma. So actually, if we go to Canto 3, go to this chapter 9, we see that this Vidura, he approaches Maitreya Muni to learn more about the science of Godhead. First he goes to Uddhava, but then Uddhava tells him that, you know, you should because of Maryada Vyatikrama, he said that you should approach Maitreya Muni. So that time Maitreya Muni, you know, as is done by all great sages and Vaishnavas. So he describes his lineage. He says that he learned this Srimad Bhagavatam from none other than Parashar Muni. So Parashar Muni and other sages were there when, you know, Lord Shankarshan himself was imparting this science of Godhead to the four Kumaras. So Maitreya actually heard it from Parashar, who actually heard it along with the Kumaras from Lord Sankarshan. I hope I got the sequence right. So then he's describing actually what happened. So, when Lord Brahma, he sprouted from the lotus flower coming from the navel of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, it was complete darkness and he had no idea absolutely of what's, you know, who am I or what's happening. I mean, what is this lotus and where it is leading to? So he tries to, you know, by his own effort, he tries to go down deeper and tries to see where is the source of this lotus, you know, he's sitting on. So he wants to find out what is who is, you know, from where I have come and what is this thing. So he tries to go down and down, and but then he gets lost and he actually reaches the Kala Chakra and he gets intimidated and then makes his way back. That's what is described in the Bhagavatam. So so he gives up his efforts, you know, he's kind of disappointed that you know, he's not able to find any you know, source or anything like that. So that time he does penance, tapasya, he does tapasya for a long time. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead actually manifests in his heart. And that time Lord Brahma wrote these Brahma Samhita verses and he glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the verse which is being spoken here by Lord Brahma, which we saw in 124, 125. We see these verses actually are spoken by Lord Brahma in praise of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, we see in the chapter how Srila Prabhupada says that when Brahma took his own efforts to find out who is this person, from where has he come, who am I, things like that, he was not able to do so. He was not successful. So then he had to do tapasya for such a long time. And after doing tapasya, he understood, he got darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he came to know who created him and what is the reason for his existence and things like that. So unless we offer devotional service to the Lord, and that too by taking you know, proper guidance from a Vaishnava, like none other than our guru and other siksha gurus or other devotees, it's impossible to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, what to speak of offering devotional service unto him? Because like we see from this example of Brahma, he tried to do by his own dint, but didn't arrive at anything concrete. In fact, he was scared at the Kala Chakra. He reached the Kala Chakra and he was scared and retreated his way back. So we have to totally depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and take the help of these Vaishnavas to actually offer some kind of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that we can at least get a glimpse of how to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is why these shlokas are being quoted here in this verse. Yeah, the next verse, the purport is, the living entity is an ever-conditioned servant of the material energy, whereas Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the master of the material energy. How then could they be on an equal level? There can be no comparison, between them. His lordship is always in a happy condition of transcendental bliss, whereas the conditioned soul is always unhappy because of his contact with the material energy. The Supreme Lord controls the material energy, and the material energy controls the conditioned souls. There is therefore no comparison between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the ordinary living entities. So in this translation, we see that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in all those six spiritual opulences, Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Aishwaryasya, like that. But so how can we compare this material living entity to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? He is full in everything, in knowledge, in bliss, you know, in beauty, fame, strength, everything, and renunciation. He is full in everything. But the living entity, you know, if we close our eyes, we don't even know what's happening next to us, or we don't even know what's happening in the room adjacent to us. You know, we don't even have that much amount of knowledge. And what to speak of beauty and other things, after 30, everything goes down the drain. So Prabhupada is asking this rhetorical question, how could they be on an equal level? So it would be utterly foolish for us to imagine or think that, you know, we could one day become the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's again trying to quell this kind of wrong conception which the Mayavads have, that, you know, once they are totally uncovered by Maya, they are going to be equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No, that's not never going to happen. We will still be minute, parts and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but we can never be on an equal level to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he says there is no comparison between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the ordinary living entities. So it would be foolish to even try to do that. 127. This verse is found in Sridhar Swami's Bhavartha Deepika, wherein he quotes Sri Vishnu Swami. So this is again another verse which describes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with his different potencies, the Sandhini, Haladini, and Samvit potencies. Basically, the potency of existence, knowledge, and bliss. So all these potencies are there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is full of bliss all the time. And the conditioned soul, however, is covered by ignorance and embarrassed by the threefold miseries of life. So we know that, this doesn't need much of an explanation. We see, every day, padam padam yad vipadam natesham, we are going through some struggle in some form of the other. Either it is our mind, giving us a problem, adi bhautik, adi devik, adi adhyatmik. Adhyatmik is like our own mind or our body giving us troubles. Adi bhautik is like we have the corona going around, which is totally beyond us. And adi daivik, that is adi, maybe adi bhautik too. And sometimes we are attacked by other living entities, or, sometimes you get a bug bite or something like that. So we are always, battling this miserable condition of this material life, because we're always bombarding with these three modes of material nature. But that's not the case with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is ever blissful, Atma Ramas. So that's what he's saying here. The next verse has no purport. We'll skip that. Next also. Now verse number 131. That has a very nice, beautiful purport. I would like to read that. Yeah, we have some time. Yeah. Purport. Herein, I'll read the translation. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. Herein, Swarup Damodar Goswami instructs the poet from Bengal to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure Vaishnava and learn from him. In India, especially, there is now a class of professional Bhagavatam readers whose means of livelihood is to go from village to village, town to town, reading Bhagavatam and collecting dakshina or rewards in the form of money or goods, like umbrellas, cloth, and fruit. Thus, there is now a system of Bhagavata business with recitations called Bhagavata Saptaha that continue for 1 week, although this is not mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowhere does Srimad Bhagavatam say that the Bhagavatam should be heard for 1 week from professionals. Rather, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17 says, Shrinvatam Svakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayanta Savadani. One should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized Vaishnava. By such hearing, one becomes pious. Hridayanta Stoya Badrani Vidunoti Suhatsata. As one thus hears the Bhagavatam regularly and sincerely, his heart is purified of all material contamination. Nashtaprayeshva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. So these are the series of verses, from Canto 1, Chapter 2, which actually shows the path of what happens when you take to the study of Bhagavatam and devotional service. So Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu. So by regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Wow. Okay. This is the proper process, but people are accustomed to being misled by professional Bhagavatam reciters. Therefore, Swarup Damodar Goswami herein advises that one should not hear Srimad Bhagavatam from professional reciters. Instead, one must hear and learn the Bhagavatam from a self-realized Vaishnava. So now we know why Swarup Damodar Goswami would always curate all the content, act as a filter before anything reaches Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he did not want Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be disturbed by any other, you know, the one or any of these professional Bhagavatam reciters in that sense, you know, who don't have the actual idea of the science of Godhead, but are just doing it as a scholastic study. So we find in this purport so nicely that Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. So Bhagavata Sevaya, Prabhupada also explains elsewhere that there's two types of Bhagavata Sevaya. You know, one is to read the book Bhagavatam, that is the Seva. And the other one is to do the Bhagavata, the person, you know, like the devotees of the Lord, to serve them. So only by doing these things can we actually understand the Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. The bhakti will, actual devotions, you know, devotion will come to us. Otherwise, we will still be, you know, doing some mental speculation and trying to understand things by ourselves and, you know, leading up to nowhere. So the right approach is to take guidance of a devotee and then study the scriptures and understand from what the previous acharyas or the devotees of the Lord have to tell about it, not to use our mental speculation. So we should not be misled by professional Bhagavatam reciters. And he also, you know, is Prabhupada doesn't speak to you know, encouraging about the Bhagavata Saptaha, because the Bhagavatam says the Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Shrunvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shrana. So we have to do this Nityam Bhagavata Seva, not just for 1 week, you know, and then leave it at that and carry on with our material affairs. So that's the reason Srila Prabhupada was against this Bhagavata Saptaha. But nonetheless, if, you know, a devotee gives a week-long seminar or 8 or 10 day seminar that can enthuse us or that can motivate us to read more about the Bhagavatam, there's nothing like it. So it's not like totally debunking the fact that, you know, there should be no sapta, but we should continue our reading on a daily basis. That's the idea Srila Prabhupada is driving at here. Okay, sometimes it is seen that instead, one must hear and learn the Bhagavatam from a self-realized Vaishnava. Sometimes it is seen that when a Mayavadi sannyasi reads the Bhagavatam, flocks of men go to hear the jugglery of words that cannot awaken their dormant love for Krishna. Sometimes people go to see professional dramas and offer food and money to the players who are expert at collecting these offerings very nicely. The result is that the members of the audience remain in the same position of grahamandakupam, family affection, and do not awaken their love for Krishna. So we see this happen, right? I mean, in India, I have seen, you know, like many people, they actually enjoy these lectures and they're like, wow, that was a good one, you know, because the speaker threw in a couple of, you know, humorous segments here and there and derived some meaning out of, you know, something simple and equated, or put you know, like ourselves in that position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and, you know, boosted our ego or did something like that. And people are very happy to hear these things, you know, because it is kind of, they identify with that, whatever the speaker is saying, but though that is not the actual truth, and they kind of get, because they want to hear, you know, what they want to hear. So, and then the speaker gives them exactly that. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is saying. They hear the jugglery of words, you know, like it appears very witty the way they speak, you know. Oh, you feel, wow, there is so much of logic, you know. That person is really speaking very sensibly, because that appeals to your intelligence and logic. But, you know, not always what appeals to your intelligence and logic is right. So we should not try and listen from these professional speakers who are doing all this jugglery of words just to make some money or earn some fame or respect or things like that. We should actually seek the Bhagavatam from a true devotee of the Lord, because they will cut out all this fan, you know, extra fluff, and give us the actual message of Krishna, which will actually awaken this love for Krishna. But when you hear to such speakers, this will not awaken our love for Krishna. In the Bhagavatam 7.5.30, it is said, Matirna Krishna Paratah Satuva. the grahavratanam. The grahavratas, those who are determined to continue following the materialistic way of life, will never awaken their dormant love of Krishna, for they hear the Bhagavatam only to solidify their position in household life and to be happy in family affairs and sex. So some people are doing Bhagavata Saptaha to reap some benefits, you know. They're like, oh Lord, let me offer this to you. Let me conduct this prayer and, you know, feed 1,000 people. And why don't you give me something back in return, you know, some material opulence or some, you know, getting rid of some disease or something like that. Condemning this process of hearing the Bhagavatam from professionals, Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Yaha Bhagavata Pada Pada Padha Vaishnavera Sthane. To understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava. One should rigidly avoid hearing the Bhagavatam from a Mayavadi or other non-devotee who simply performs a grammatical jugglery of words to twist some meaning from the text, collect meaning from the innocent public, and thus keep people in darkness. So we've also heard from several lectures from Srila Prabhupada that many gurus, so-called gurus, you know, they give some mantra for a charge like that. And I mean, this does happen, you know, like you pay them some money and get some mantra. And because people are struggling in this material world, they are looking and seeking out for some kind of relief. And they are easily, you know, they're fooled or they're cheated by all these things, you know, because they are themselves in dire position and they want to get rid of their miseries, and they also fall for these kind of tricks. So Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying that we should not do that. You know, if we do that, we will just get that. We will still be cheated, you know, like the Prabhupada says, the cheaters and the cheated. So they will always be cheaters and they will always be cheated people, you know, because that's what we are seeking for. We want some relief from this material miseries, but then we'll never get the science of Godhead from these people. So Swarup Damodar Goswami strictly prohibits the behavior of the materialistic so-called hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam. Instead of awakening real love for Krishna, such hearers of Bhagavatam become more and more attached to the household affairs and sex. Sex life. Yan maithunadi grahamedi sukhami duchham. One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a person who has no connection with material activities, or in other words, from a Paramahamsa Vaishnava, one who has achieved the highest stage of sannyasa. This, of course, is not possible unless one takes shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimad Bhagavatam is understandable only for one who can follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that it's necessary to get this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam or the science of Godhead, and study the Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of a guru or a, you know, who is in the highest stage of sannyasa. Not only that, but also we need to, at the same time, beg for the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what is being said. It is understandable only for who can follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what does it mean to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is to, you know, try like how we are doing, trying to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we see why this is true is because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even there are practical examples from the life of close associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to how, you know, we can practically implement these great teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam in our daily lives. Like if we see the examples given of the great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes there is a tendency to think that, oh, they belong to Satyayuga or, you know, Dwapara, they were very strong. Those times were different. We did not belong then, you know, to those things. So even, you know, while reading Chaitanya Leela, we sometimes tend to think that way, though it just happened about 500 years back. So this, we tend to think that, oh, this is a thing of the past, you know, it's not relevant anymore like that. But unless we understand these esoteric pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his close associates, we will never be able to approach even the Srimad Bhagavatam in that, with that understanding, because this is more, you know, identifiable in one sense to us than the great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, because They are at a different level. These Srimad Bhagavatam, like Parikshit Maharaj, would fast for 7 days and just listen, you know, totally unperturbed, knowing that he's going to die in 7 days. He was like so happily listening. So that is not our position, you know. But here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see so many nice examples which we can relate to, like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, has in one sense orchestrated this drama to make us understand the simple truths of life. You know, we read about Chota Haridas, so many other different personalities who are very close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but they are only being instructional to us as to how we should, you know, we can move forward in our bhakti. So this is what Prabhupada is driving at here. Next purport is 132. It is clearly to be understood in this connection, the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's way of devotional service are eternal associates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perfect knowers of the absolute truth. If one immediately follows the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by associating with his devotees, lusty desires for material enjoyment will vanish from one's heart. Then one will be able to understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam and the purpose of listening to it. Otherwise, such understanding is impossible. So how do we try to understand, how do we follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? That is by rendering service to these eternal associates. So like how Srila Rupa Goswami, he has given us these books, which Prabhupada says is very important for every devotee to read and follow. So these Sad Goswamis and other associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have left us behind a lot of literature, who, you know, the parampara of our acharyas have carried it down and given to us. So we should, you know, follow in their footsteps so that we can please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and and then we will be able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam in reality. Yeah, I'm just seeing if there are any more purports. Yeah, there's one last one. So we see that Swarup Damodar, you know, these were kind of very heavy words, and the poet was, the Brahmana was actually very scared and intimidated by this kind of a chastisement, which is actually good for his own self. So then Swarup Damodar, because he's a devotee and he's very kind-hearted, he tries to explain to him that the right approach would be to go and seek the association of a Vaishnava and learn the real truth of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this purport, which is the last for today, sorry, I went 7 minutes past time. I thought it would be a short class, but Swarup Damodar Goswami informed the Bengali poet, because of your ignorance and your leaning toward Mayavad philosophy, you cannot distinguish the difference between the Mayavad and Vaishnava philosophies. Therefore, the process you have adopted to praise Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannatha does not follow the proper system. Indeed, it is irregular and offensive. Fortunately, however, through your words, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, has tactfully offered her prayers to her master, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, though, you know, the words of this poet, they are, like he says here, Goddess Saraswati kind of altered the meaning, you know. So I was also personally wondering that how come, you know, such great associates of the Lord could not, you know, understand the meaning of this verse, and only Swarup Damodar Goswami pointed out this flaws in this verses, because like he says, fortunately, however, through your words, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, has tactfully offered her prayers to her master, Lord Sri Chaitanya. So it is kind of hidden in that sense, you know, and that's why it was not so obvious. But because Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami is literally like the swan, you know, who is trying to pick out the milk from the water, he was able to do that. But at the outset, you can see that Goddess Saraswati has actually made that appear very, very pleasing to the ears of everybody. So that's what we understand from this purport. And also the important thing is, because the poet was leaning toward Mayavad tendencies, because he thought Lord Jagannath to be just matter. And that is an offense, like we discussed earlier. So that's why Swarup Damodar Goswami kind of chastised this Bengali poet, but which was again in his own good, because now he can associate with the devotees of the Lord and try to learn the real science of Godhead. I would like to stop here. And please forgive me if I made any mistakes, because like I said, I just had a couple of hours to go through these verses. And thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear Preeti.
Yes. I just heard the class. It was very beautiful, and I'm so glad you did the class today. It is so good, Mataji. I really had a lot of doubts, about the Bhagavata Saptaha, and then about the mode of Swarup Damodar Goswami, what went wrong, and how, this kind of was also reflected. Thank you so much. As I was hearing the class, everything was clarified to me. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this amazing job, Mataji, as always. Hare Krishna.
Thanks, Preeti. Are you still at service?
Yes. Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, you invest the best, right? You give me the same. So.
Oh, Krishna. No, Mataji. Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanu Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So beautiful class, Mataji, in so detail, you know. You went through all the purport and explanation and translation. It was so nice, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. I like to read Srila Prabhupada's purports in full, because I feel that they are very potent, Mataji. And what I cannot explain, I mean, what he explains, I definitely cannot. So it's nice to read his words directly. So that's why, Mataji, please forgive me if I took extra time doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji, for always encouraging.
Very nice class. Very nicely presented. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna. All glories to Guru and Gauranga.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat pranams. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Beautiful class, Mataji. I think the purports really helped, as you say. And then after that, he spoke about the meaning for each of the verses. So definitely the flow was very good, Mataji. I really liked the class and a lot of takeaways. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji, for kindly encouraging me. Hare Krishna. All goes to Guru and Gauranga. Hare Mataji, a beautiful, beautiful class. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. It was very nice, Mataji, going through all the purports, and you did not miss even a single point that we missed or anything like that. Everything was clearly explained. How the Supreme Lord, soul and body is not different. We should not, distinguish between both of them. Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji. Actually, the thanks goes to you, Vinita, because you were the one, showing the purports and really keeping up the pace and, helping me actually derive meaning. So thank you so much.
No, Mataji, I helped or confused you today. Thank you so much for the beautiful class.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Very deep, deep, deep devotional association, Mataji. Hari Hari, Gauranga. And you always inspire us that we have to read Sri Sri Bhagavatam, Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. That is touch to heart. And we are, we pray that you sing one Vaishnava song in this Kartik month. We know that you are tired, but we are always hungry.
Yes, Mataji, I know that you are always hungry for Bhagavatam and Bhajan. And so that is some motivation for me always, to hear from you. Because I know that you like to conclude the class with the bhajan, and also the bhajans are, very terse, concise, and you know, concentrated form of our philosophy. So it also motivates me to learn more bhajans. And I'm very grateful to you for that, Mataji. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. I will sing a bhajan, maybe Damodar Ashtakam, because this is Damodar month at the end of the class, if the organizers are okay, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, you can sing, Mataji.
Mataji?
Is there any question or comment for Mataji? It's Mataji, I think you can sing maybe.
Yeah, all of us can sing. Sorry if any time bothering you again. Is it possible to project the Damodar Ashtakam so everybody can follow?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Nitai Gaura Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaura Hari Bol. So you can unmute yourself, Mataji, if you don't mind. And repeat. Namamishwaram Sat Chidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam.
Namamishwaram
Sat Chidananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam.
Yashoda bhiyo lukha ladhava manam.
Yashoda bhiyo
lukha manam.
Paramrishtamatyanta todhritya gopya.
Paramrishtamatyanta todhritya gopya.
Nitra Yukmam Rajantam Karambhoja Yugmena Shatanka Netram
Rudantam Karambhoja Yugmena Shatanka Netram
Bhushwasakam Patri Rekhanka Kanta
Tadraivam Damodaram Bhakti Badham
Idrigsvalilabhir Ananda Kunde Swaghoshanima Jantam Akhyapayantam Tadiyeshitagneshu bhaktajitatvam Puna Prematastam Shatavriti Vande.
Puna Prematastam Shatavriti Vande.
Param Deva Mokshamna Mokshavadhim Vana Chanyam Vrineham Varishadapiha.
Param Deva Mokshamna Mokshavadhim Nachainam Vrineham Varishadapi.
Idam Deva Purinatha Gopala Balam.
Idam Deva Purinatha Gopala Balam.
Tadame Manasya Virashtam Kimanyai.
Tadame Manasya Virashtam Kimanyai.
इदंते मुखाम्भोजम् अत्यंत नीलैर्वृतं कुन्तलै स्निग्धा रक्तैश गोप्या
भूषुम्बितं
बिम्ब रक्ताधरं मे मनस्या विराष्टामलं लक्षलाभै
मनस्य
नमो देवदा मोदर अनंत विष्णु प्रसिद प्रभो दुख जलादिमग्नम
नमो देवदा मोदर प्रसिद प्रभो दुख जलादिमग्नम
कृपा दृष्टि वृष्याति दीनं बतानु
कृपा दृष्टि वृष्याति दीनं बतानु
गृहानिश मामज्ञं मेध्याक्षी दृश्यः
गृहानिश मामज्ञं मेध्याक्षी
वीरात्मजौ बद्ध मूत्यैवयद्वत्त्वया मोचितौ भक्ति भाजौ कृतौ च
वीरात्मजौ बद्ध मूत्यैवयद्वत्त्वया मोचितौ भक्ति भाजौ कृतौ च
तथा प्रेम भक्तिं स्वकामे प्रयच्छ
नमस्तेस्तु
दाम्ने स्फुरदीप्ति धाम्ने त्वदीयोदरायाथ विश्वस्य धाम्ने
नमस्तेस्तु दाम्ने स्फुरदीप्ति धाम्ने त्वदीयोदरायाथ विश्वस्य धाम्ने
नमो राधिकायै त्वदीय प्रियायै
नमो
राधिकायै
नमो अनन्तलीलाय देवाय तुभ्यं
नमो अनन्तलीलाय देवाय तुभ्यं
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे
जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर राधे
जय राधा दामोदर राधा दामोदर राधे
जय गोरनीता जय गोरनीता जय गोरनीता जय गोरनीता
जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय
गौरहर जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा श्रील प्रभु पदा
जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा जय प्रभु पदा
गुर हरि बोल नित गोरा हरि बोल
जय हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल
जय गौर प्रेमानंदे
हरि श्री दामोदरष्टकम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद श्रील गुरुदेव की जय माता जी कोटि प्रणाम हरि हरि बोल
थैंक यू वृंदा गोपिका माता जी
thank you mataji very nice beautiful class and
sagari mataji beautiful singing
especially mataji you sing you teach us very nicely the brook the words and exactly like in a sanskrit brooking the words and sing so mataji you sing so nicely brooking the words and like we understand the meaning thank you mataji koti koti dhanyavad pranam sila prabhupada sila gurudev ki jai
thank you mataji blessings of guru and gauranga and devotees like you mataji and nothing I'm doing I think you are all deriving like that so it's just the blessings of guru and gauranga
mataji I think we can end the call
पाञ्चकल्पतरुभ्यस्य
कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः अनन्तकोटिवैष्णवृन्द की जय रामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की जय श्री श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री गौरवृन्द की जय हर गृह सुख सागरी माताजी की जय आल वैष्णव वृंद की जय
हे माताजी थैंक यू हरे बोल
Thank you. Thank you to you and your mom.
Ki jai.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna.